Oh, is he fucking with us? I don't think he's fucking with us.
Parsley.
I mean, he might be trying to fuck with us, but I think the actual tech issues are also fucking with us.
Yeah.
So now we're double fucked.
That's the t-shirt. Hashtag double fucked.
Hashtag double.
I feel like double fucked is going to be the follow-up to the Fast Five.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and we're the green fuck. I don't know.
We're not back.
We have not started yet.
Thank you.
So let's start it. Greetings, Apropos. Buckle up for the fucking sex. See everyone. Oh, salsa.
James.
And Jenna. And special guest,
Stefan.
Oh my god, I don't even know what's going on right now.
Welcome to the club.
Hey everybody, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking obviously. There's not gonna be enough of it.
Yeah, Spotted Cow, there is never enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it hot cocoa? I'm having the one that doesn't have milk.
Mm.
One of them is just like hot water and cacao. And I think that's hot cocoa. And then the other one, hot chocolate, is with milk.
That sounds about right.
Maybe. I don't know. I this also might be a hot different dish casserole thing. Yeah, well, when I'm having heated liquid cacao with water and not
cacao.
But
you
also
do the finger guns. cacao.
But also with Kahlua and that one. What is it?
Gin?
Blackberry brandy. No, not gin. Jesus fuck. No, that blackberry liqueur.
IPA.
Blackberry brandy. No. Oh my god. You're cranky and you're gonna take it out on me, aren't you, fucker? Alright, I see how it is. Two can play this goddamn game.
I mean, I'll take it out on whoever's talking.
Quick, James, say something.
Accurate.
Fuck you.
Oh, speaking my of God.
Me, I am drinking Hammerheart Brewing Company's Thor's Imperial Hot Pepper Porter. It is 10.7% alcohol by volume. Jesus. A rich smoked imperial porter brewed with locally grown exotic peppers such as brown Maruga scorpion, dragon's breath, and Carolina Reaper. These peppers are incorporated in a mild manner to complement the malt. This beer has earned its place as a mainstay at our brewery.
Mild-mannered peppers is the name of my Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band.
What is the fucking point? Why are you going to add peppers mildly? What?
That's delicious.
What?
It sounds like this is a very slow realization of mistakes were made.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, you might be angry about the pepper, but I'm not.
It's clearly they were like, we're gonna put ghost pepper in there because people say, look how big my dick is. So I drink ghost pepper. But we can't put ghost pepper in there because people won't actually be able to drink it. So we have to tone that shit way down. That's what this is.
Okay, hold up. Point the first. My dick is massive. Point the second.
Yes.
Point the second. It's not the ghost pepper that's keeping me away from that particular beverage.
No, certainly.
It's the rest of it.
Definitely, but why would, like, clearly they're using ghost pepper as a buzzword here. Not actually adding the spice. It's like this car goes to a 300 miles an hour, but we're throttling it at 50. Like,
so tell me, gentlemen, how toxic is like, your masculinity?
What's the point? It's silly. This is the silliest beer I have ever, James. And you personally.
It's delicious. Also, I said Carolina Reaper, not Ghost Pepper. One. Two.
Sorry, Carolina Reaper.
Yeah. Two, you can say I put four habaneros and a ghost pepper into this pot of chili, and that can still be enough, even though the pot of chili is gigantic. Doesn't have to be a saucepan of chili for that to be worthwhile. I would say the peppers that they've added are well chosen and flavorful and add to the beer experience.
But Carolina Reaper! No, I actually... Yeah,
if you're going to use Carolina Reaper and then mildly... No. No.
I understand where both of you are coming silly, with. You know? Coming with, coming from. I have already had too much cocoa. I understand where both of you are coming from. But I will say, I think Salsa does make a valid point. Wherein...
Who are you? And what if you don't...
Shush. Would you just take the support when it comes in? Okay, so anyway.
No.
Oh my god, Salsa, I think you're cutting out in a very delightful way to me. There's a part of me that's like, how does it feel? But, good, I hope you're choking. No, but like I actually have to support Salsa on his point that saying the word Carolina Reaper has a very specific marketing goal.
Sure, sure.
I also support your point that it works delightfully for those who drink such things in your beverage.
Mm-hmm.
Also point the third, my dick is the biggest, the end.
Yeah. Honk. It's true.
This is accurate.
Yeah.
Hey, Stefan, are you drinking anything?
I'm just drinking water. My fitness app has been yelling at me for the last week or so.
Solid choice.
Yeah, complaining about how much coffee I drink.
Yeah. Is this tap water? Is it bottled water? Is there a vintage?
Yeah. No, I got a smartwatch for Christmas, and so I'm trying to do more fitness tracky stuff. It also yells at me about my sleep schedule and keeps asking me if I really am sleeping from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., which, you know, it is correct that it is not what I'm sleeping. It's more like midnight to 6, but, you know, it's what I want. But yeah. I am drinking it from a growler that I got in Alaska from Skagway Brewing.
Ooh.
When I went on a week-long cruise with my in-laws for my grandmother-in-law's 80th birthday a couple of years ago.
Very nice.
And it was once in the same room that a ghost ghost was in. So-
Yeah, actually up there they're
name dropper.
They're famous for a spruce tip ale.
Ew.
Well they used to make it because spruce tips have vitamin C in them. And it was the only way that the Yukon frontiersmen could stave off scurvy because of course citrus don't grow up there.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And so the beer was the only way to make it palatable.
I don't think there is a way to make spruce or beer palatable. So this just sounds like maybe it's like a double negative. Maybe it cancels itself out and nope, probably not.
I mean, that strikes me as being a gin and tonic situation.
Right. And that scares me for all of the above reasons. I don't like it.
Kind of about it.
Oh my God. That's my hell. The only source of vitamin C comes in whatever this is. And it's great for everybody else. Nobody understands why I'm having problems with this particular beverage, but I have to drink it to stave off scurvy. Well, found it.
Just go in there for like your weekly tiny mug, little shot of.
I know what I'll be doing for the rest of the eternity. What have you guys been up to?
Yeah, this is local like reviewer. Adult monkey's paw.
Yeah. God,
it really is.
It's like
the local reviewer says, okay, this is the strangest adaptation of No Exit.
Oh no.
There was talking over.
Sorry.
Yeah, Salsa, you're doing that thing. You're doing the worm. You're doing the worm. You're time traveling. It's not really time traveling, but yeah, you're doing the time worm.
Oh, visual jokes.
On an audio podcast.
That's how we do it. All right. Time-honored tradition.
So yeah, what have y'all been up to?
Oh, shit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, do we want fun news or frustrating news?
I mean, I've got all of the scary news, but...
Well, there's that, yeah. Hmm. I could go first, or I could let anybody else go first.
What? Okay, I'll go first.
Just go for crying out loud.
Well, I was going to say maybe Salsa should go first, but we can't hear him. So... Welcome to my world. Okay, so anyway. So y'all know how I have a fear of mice.
Yeah?
Uh-oh.
I may have spent the past week at Joe's.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I did not see it proper. I heard it. None of my traps have caught.
Whoa.
But also, I haven't heard it since. So I'm hoping it came into my apartment. Well, fuck this noise and left. But basically, I have yet another dwelling I need to get out of because I can't keep playing this game.
Yeah, no. That's,
yep.
It's a shitty game.
So, yeah, that was really the majority of my week was dealing with that situation. I did do the Monster Science Awards. I accepted for, what is it called? The Kung Pern, but it's a Jurassic era, kind of like a lizard bird. Okay. But it is this year they discovered that it had opposable digits, making it the first known animal to have opposable thumbs.
Oh, is that the
it's also called like a monkey saurus or something like that, like as a nickname, but yeah. Opposable digits. So my speech was basically being crusty about the fact that, oh, sure, win an award for having thumbs. Great. And gave a thumbs up. But yeah. it is a fucking cool animal, though. Like part bird, part lizard. Discovered in China where all the cool dinosaurs are being found right now. And non-dinosaurs, I should say. Jurassic and other era animals that are not technically dinosaurs for reasons. I did that, and it was kind of a who's who in the Twin Cities theater, local theater scene. Oh my God, there were so many names. Don Krasnowski, Allison Anderson, Jen Scott, Boo Sergensen, that's five. Lauren Anderson, Rita, I can't remember her last name off the top of my, like, it was seriously just, and that was maybe half of the people that were accepting awards over the course of the evening. And we played bits. We had fun. I dressed up super classy. So did a lot of other people. Boo spanked Joe's butt. Like, it was a good evening all around, really. it was so nice to like see people and like perform with people that were awesome and have an appreciative audience. It was so good. Oh God, it felt good. So yeah. Yep, that's what I've been up to. Primarily just dealing with my anxiety. And PMSing at the same time. That's been delightful. And work's been stupid. So like it's one of those like everything's piling on top of each other, but like I could handle it all individually, or maybe like two or three at a time, but like what's the phrase? Like several days have ganged up on me at once kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ah, son of a bitch. So yeah. Nope, that's been me. Just trying to keep afloat.
All right.
James. Wait, Salsa, did you want to try to go?
Fine. What did I do even? I don't even know what I did anymore. Stuff.
Hmm.
James, go. I got to think about what I even did.
All right. All right. So this last weekend, Jax had arranged for a table space at a local event, a steampunk event.
Oh, 13 Gear or Gear 13 or whatever.
Yeah, 13 Gears. Correct. Yeah. They were doing a steampunk event at a brewery. And I went and helped them set up and then came home, had a quiet afternoon planned online watching stuff with someone, and she said, "Do you want to take a walk with me?" And I said, "Well, you know, there's yes. Wait. Yes, I do."
Okay.
I want to take you to this event. Because I suddenly remembered that as I was leaving, I was like, oh man, it would be super nice if, you know, if Emily wanted to see this place. I wonder if Emily likes steampunk. And turns out Emily does like steampunk and also definitely wanted to go. Yeah, it was just, it was perfect. I wasn't sure whether we were going to do costume or anything like that, but she was like, "This is my only chance to wear these shoes." I'm fucking doing it. Yeah.
Yes. So,
yeah. We were, you know, kind of half street clothes, half costume stuff. Sure. The comfortable mixture. And then I went to this event and, you know, did the masking and distance thing. With the exception, well, I guess it was still distanced. I got into a tea duel for the first time. The Tea Scouts Society was putting on a duel.
I'm honestly shocked. This is the first time you've done it.
I had never heard of it before. So in the same afternoon, I was introduced to it, competed in my first tournament, and won a tournament.
I don't know what this is.
All in one go. Two competitors sit at a table. They are served extraordinarily hot tea. There is a plate of digestive cookies between them, or biscuits. There are rules on how all of this is done and the order of it and that kind of thing. But it's a very formal duel. And so after you've selected your weapon, your biscuit, the adjudicator instructs you to dunk it, and you have to dunk it up to your fingers, and then you lift it out and flip it over so that you are holding your hand palm side up with the cookie grasped only between your thumb and forefinger.
Okay.
Not two fingers, not three, because that might fuck up the thing. So it's just, you're just pinching it between the two fingers. And the goal is to be the person who puts it into their mouth completely without spilling it anywhere, but to be the last person to do that. So you're trying to goad the other person to kind of shoot first, but still be able to put the complete cookie into your mouth.
Yeah. It's crumbling cookie chicken.
Yes, that. That's a perfect explanation.
Okay.
And the crowd loved it. And it turns out that it uses a lot of the same muscles as fencing. So
sure.
Yeah.
It's all in the wrist.
So very much so. And
I was going to say, yeah, all of that, you know, shoving a balloon into your mouth to win at fencing. Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's what I've been doing wrong.
Yeah, it goes in your mouth, Jenna. God, gross.
But I'm allergic to latex. I can't eat it. It's yet another food allergy.
Well, I would expect that you'd be allergic to the other one, too. But...
Sorry, what was that, Salsa?
I said you're probably allergic to the cookies, too. So either way, you're just hosed.
Yeah, it is very likely that you'd be allergic to those cookies because they exist and are food.
So, the longer they sit, the longer it's soaking your fingers, the softer they get until they eventually fall apart. And so who's going to decide, nope, my cookie is going to break imminently first.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's bitch stick with cigarettes.
Yes.
Oh, I would be so good at this.
Yeah.
Oh, because I know how to do thing. This while putting it to my mouth still. So like, yeah.
This was very similar to holding a lit match while reciting Shakespeare and the Greek alphabet for my fraternity. So
I was about to say, I remember that.
So, I won it free and clear, and it was an amazing experience. And then drank a little, because there was a side room, and then just, you know, relaxed. Just had a nice afternoon where I didn't do a fucking thing.
Nice. Yeah,
it was a glorious experience.
Very cool. Salsa, did you figure anything out?
I made a pudding.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
Yeah, how was it?
It was an experience. We'll go with that. Okay. It was an experience. Ooh. So I'll go through the whole process. This was a 2-day process. So it started out the evening before, where I started with a entire kilogram of dried fruit, which doesn't sound like a lot until you have a kilogram of dried fruit in the bowl and you go, that's a fucking lot of fruit.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Like there's a significant volume. I was seriously like, I had tart cherries and raisins and apricots, and I like started with the tart cherries, and I had gotten like a half pound or something of cherries or whatever like that. I don't even remember exactly how much I got. But you know, just one of those little containers that's roughly the size of, you know, 4 inches by 6 inches by 2 inches or whatever. One of those little fruit container things. Sure. And I started by like taking handfuls out and dumping it in the bowl, and it was like, okay. And then finally, I just pulled the thing there, and it was like 300 grams. And I was like, oh shit, we've got a long way to go.
Oh no.
Yeah, it turned out the pudding was mostly fruit. Started with a gram of dried fruits, and then you put in some juice and berry in there. And you put a lid on that, and you let that soak overnight. So that dried fruit just sponges up the booze. That's really what we're doing here. Nice. Sponging up the booze.
Ah, yes.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Mm-hmm. You would make an amazing pudding.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's probably the nicest thing Celts has ever said about me, so I'm going with it.
The next day, you make a dough. And actually, you make a toffee. sushi. Mm-hmm. A lot of fucking butter and a lot of brown sugar, and you caramelize it, and you coat the dried fruit in that, so you have like this dried fruit toffee mix. It's really so good. It's so good. But you gotta let it cool off. You add eggs to it, and you don't want to scramble the eggs. So you cook that up, you cool it off, and then you just make a very simple dough, just like flour and mm-hmm. eggs, and cinnamon and other baking there. And then you take the whole dough with all of this fruit in it. And like I said, this is 90% fruit at this point. But what you're doing is you get a kitchen towel, you know, a table cloth, and you boil it in water, which does two things. Mm-hmm. It sanitizes it, and it kind of clogs up the pores of the cloth mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you put that down, and you sprinkle flour on that. And that does two things. Number one, makes it so your pudding doesn't stick to the cloth. And number two, it makes a skin of dough around it. And that gives it a skin when it comes out later.
Okay.
And then you take your batter and you put it in there and you wrap it up and you tie it with a string on top and you put this whole ball of dough inside of this cloth into a pot of boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
And you boil it for 5 hours.
Okay.
So a whole half day. Wow.
It was a process. And the thing is I realized about halfway through, basically what this is a dessert version of sous vide. Like that's really
what it's,
because the boiling water gives it at a steady temperature at not much of boiling point, you know, so it's a low cooking temperature. It's being low and slow.
Mm.
And so by boiling it, you're not overheating it and drying it out. It's staying moist and slowly cooking. So it really stays soft and spongy. But the thing is with that rolling boil for 5 hours, you have to constantly being adding water to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not like sure. I could just walk mm-hmm. away and go to the store or something like that. Every 20 minutes or so, I had to put the kettle on and add more water to the pot. And now, I would use... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and you can't add cold water because that would reduce the...
Yeah, you dry kill the temperature boil. Would fluctuate. Exactly. So you mm-hmm. hot water from the kettle. But if I did it again, I would use a bigger pot because I used a big enough pot. I used one of the bigger pots that we have, but even then it was boiling over, like, cause I'd put the lid on it and it would start to boil over. And after 5 hours of the water boiling over and splashing on my counter, I had carbonized crap all over the countertop, so that I had to scrub off, which I was real happy about, but what are you going to do? So next time if I do it, I'll probably use like our canning pot. You know what I mean? Like the big fucking
sure. Yeah, the fuck off pot, yeah.
Exactly. I'd probably use something like that. Just so it wouldn't boil over and so I wouldn't have to add water as frequently. When I do have to add water, I would have to add a lot more, but I wouldn't have to be constantly staying on top of it, because you want to keep the entire thing submerged. If it's not entirely submerged, then that top part will dry out, and you don't want that, you know. And it'll steam instead of cook in the boil. But yeah. So after 5 hours, fished that out, let it cool, pulled the cloth off, and I had this beautiful Christmas pudding, basically. Mm. And we had it with my sister-in-law makes an amazing lemon curd that is just so good. So we had it with lemon curd, and it was pretty fucking fantastic. Pretty fucking fantastic. Awesome. I now that I know I did that I can do better next time, I will absolutely make this again. But it will be for special occasions. It'll be for Christmas or
sure.
or you know, a
yeah.
event of some sort. And
for pudding day.
sure.
Something special like 4th of July or Memorial Day or Labor Day
or Tuesday.
So, Jenna, if you have a pudding day, I will absolutely make this again.
Okay. Because I'm just going to provide like the little cups of Jell-O. So, you know, so that we're happens, clear.
That happens on April 13th.
Wait, really? April 13th is pudding day, or are you just making
No, it's just 413 instead of 314.
Ah, okay. All right, Salsa.
All right.
I'm having a party. They're well, exactly
all right. If you have a party and I'm invited, then I will make this pudding for you.
Why does pudding party sound like one of those websites that you never wanted to go back to as a teenager? That constantly tricked your friends into.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you know what? I'd show up either way. So.
All right.
With I would show up with pudding either way.
with
no,
nail
it
polish.
It was something I've been wanting to do for a while now, and I finally had. Had the mm-hmm. excuse to do it, and now I'm really glad I did it. It was a really different experience. Baking is my jam, and this was just a different way of doing it that was completely outside mm-hmm. the norm for me, which is sure. extremely common in like England, you know, or at least used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Next time, I would also like to try a steamed pudding at some point, which is very similar to a pudding, except it's put into a mold, a pan, like a bundt pan.
Oh, sure.
And that's put in. But the thing is you kind of need to have, you don't want the water to actually get into the pudding, because then it'll just get soggy, and so like they're putting pans have like these fancy special that keep the condensation out, and you don't need one of those. You can like, use tin foil to create a barrier, but it's I don't know how to do it exactly, and I would probably mess it up. But it's that similar idea of having it resting in water,
but swallowing so swords is fine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't want to fuck up a pudding.
Goodness, no.
But
what kind of barbarian take before. No, I'm glad I did it. I've still got some in the kitchen upstairs. Plenty of leftovers. Mm. If you would come to my house, you definitely had some. But I for lunch today. It was still just as good.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm just gonna show up on your doorstep at some point and be like, okay. "Hi, where's my pudding?"
Okay, I'll. Right. I can send you a list of ingredients to make sure that you're not going to die, but there's like no coconut. I know.
Coconut's really the big one, yeah.
Yeah. Coconuts so, are really dumb.
Really dumb.
Coconuts are really dumb.
Coconuts are really dumb. Aw, well, I wanted to hear what that sounded like afterwards.
Okay. How do we feel about taking a break?
Yes.
I feel like this.
Okay.
You're supposed to take that break in a bathroom. Oh, Salsa, no. No, that's a bad Salsa.
Gross.
I have made my decision. And stand by it.
You sit in it.
Yep, there it is.
We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Aha, but I am not left-handed either.
Sigh. And we're back.
Not wow. With a bang.
That was exciting.
But with a whimper.
Who are
and
you?
We're back! I'm Salsa!
And I'm Jenna. And
I'm Stefan.
Yay!
Hey, Stefan!
Yay! Hey, Stefan, tell us about us. Tell us about you. Why are you here? Justify your existence.
I was
justify!
Existence.
I'm pretty excited about existence. I'd rather than the alternative anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess for recent life things, I have, you know, some very cute news. Just this evening, between work and podcast, Jennifer and I adopted two little 10-week-old kittens.
Yay!
They're so cute.
Yeah. Yeah, we just got them home around dinner time. We met them yesterday while we were out on some errands, and Jennifer's been kind of down in the dumps lately. Her 19-year-old cat passed away about 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, right during a kind of a crazy time, so both of us are still kind of processing it, and so as we were, you know, picking up some things from the hardware store, it's right next to a PetSmart, and so as we were leaving, Jennifer looks over at me and says, "Can we go see the kitties?" And so
don't
course,
do it.
I can't say no. It was because they were having an adoption event that day.
We went and got to
meet everybody in the kennels, and so the two kittens were born approximately at the end of January, and so the names we're currently trying out are Finley and Piper. Finley okay. is the boy who is gray, and Piper mm-hmm. is the girl who is calico.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we've had them for about 2.5 hours now, so we will see how they go. But they're tooling around in our guest bathroom, which is where we housed Pia, who is currently in my arms right now, when we adopted her 3 years ago. So yeah, she's we're trying to see how she'll do with having some companions again, because she's been very she's been very nearby when we're home. And so we think that she might enjoy some extra company, because, you know, she was used to when, you know, we've had her for 3 years, and she's always been in a multi-cat household, regardless of how much they sort of had to split the territory. So I think that once she gets used to them, she'll enjoy the company. But yeah, so we're giving it a try. Yeah, so the new kittens are about the same age as Jennifer's first cat was when she first adopted her, almost 20 years ago. And Pia was about 9 months when we met her at the Humane Society. So I didn't get the little cat experience. So now I get to do it with two of them. So that's super exciting. Other than that, I had an interesting experience not doing the sound and lighting design for Fearless 5 this year. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dan Ruby volunteered to take it on.
Oh, Dan. So, I adore Dan. He's a sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems to be. I'm really happy to see him branching out and doing stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thought it was a lot of fun. I helped him do some preliminary light focusing on what on a normal schedule would have been tech through. So he had some. A little bit of catching up to do because he hadn't focused anything. And this was the Sunday before opening night, but he pulled it through. You know, there were lighting cues for the show, and they were different. So so he accomplished something, but I was able to see the show closing night, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. I liked it. It was also really fantastic to see everybody in person again.
Yeah.
For the first time in too long. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. And then next up is Fearless's production of Much Ado About Nothing in about 6 weeks. It's going to open in, I think, the last weekend of April or so. I am the lighting designer for that show. Nice. So we had our first production meeting. Sunday 2 weeks ago or something, or Sunday last week maybe. So yeah, it'll be, things are going ahead. It's going to be real interesting. I'm not sure how much Duck would want to, I guess, divulge about the about the staging, because it's going to be a very interesting thing to do. So I kind of want to leave it a surprise.
I'm sorry, you may have already said this, but there was a dog barking in the background. Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at the Mounds as well. But yeah, I had not said so.
All right.
But yeah, rehearsals started last week. And so, yeah, things will be going ahead. Tim Wick is the set designer, and Duck himself is doing the sound design. So
for a place without a ton of like backstage area and without... really like fly in anything other than curtains. They do a really fucking fantastic job. It's a good space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they do a lot with the space overall. Like, because sometimes they'll go into the audience area a bit. Sometimes they build like kind of a back pass through thing with a bunch of different doorways. We did that for Klingon a few times. There's those like up above cubby things where you can put people. There's a lot of like hidden secrets, but you really have to plan how you're going to use them if you're going to use them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
the set design does take a bit of thought.
All the world's a stage and all of a theater, I guess.
And some of us are shitty actors.
Some of us are just shitty people.
Yeah, that was the metaphor.
I'm really trying for a double major on that one.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. So,
I thought it was a good metaphor.
But
what's a metaphor
for pooping, silly?
Oh no,
nothing. What?
I thought it was for tagging.
What's the matter with you?
There you go. All right. One of us has kids, and one of us has been in the tech industry for 20 years.
Let me go get my copy of Sensible Chuckle so I can open it and.
Yes.
All right.
Oh God. So yeah, Much Ado.
Yeah, Much Ado, and then Fearless Fest coming up. Gonna be interesting. For once, surprisingly, I am somewhat channeling James, in which I am double booked on an event day. the day of Fearless Fest is also the day of my the annual Scottish folk concert that I run sound for and record.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So normally it's the first Friday of February, because alliteration helps us remember. But this year that was supposed to be the Omicron peak, and it was very close to that. So they decided to reschedule in January, and Saturday, March 26th was the next day that the venue was available.
Oh my god. So I
took a chance and said, all right, yeah, this is the day for everybody, so yeah, let's go. So I'm gonna be I'll be at Fearless Fest for the first half of the day, and then fuck off and set up, run, record, tear down a concert, and then be back to tear down Fearless Fest.
I know exactly how this feels. You are correct. Well,
yeah, so yeah, the only challenge right now is finding a volunteer to be sort of like the booth tech point of contact for the second half in case anything goes wrong. I doubt it will because we have a bunch of people who know what they're doing, but I need to send out a few more inquiries amongst the membership who've done that before.
Just to have a clear chain of command and something else.
Yep. Right. Who do you go to when everything's broken?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My therapist.
A bunch of people know what they're doing, but knowing this to talk to is always a good thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I had a very similar thing actually happen. We had Mondo Juggle Fest was postponed a month due to the Omicron spike. And so that's because just like, yeah, like I'm going to have to, I'm going to miss for the first time ever. I'm going to miss the spectacular at Mondo because I have to work at a hockey game.
Oh, honey.
Because I got rescheduled. Yeah, I'm
that's
not.
That's a Sophie's choice. Shit.
Not the happiest about it, but yeah, no, I feel your pain with the rescheduling. Anyway.
Yep, so. I feel like I'm entirely capable of doing it, but it's just going to be, you know, an exciting thing. And then, yeah, so at least I have Sunday to recover, because I usually, in previous years of the full 50-hour die laughing, I have neglected to take Monday off, and that has always been a mistake.
That is a mistake.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Sorry, had I been a better producer, I would have made sure to remind everybody to take that day off.
In 2019, I needed Monday just to be hungover.
Right.
Fuck's sake.
Mm-hmm.
From Friday night, even.
Choices were made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, die laughing was never a good idea. It was a fun idea, but it was never a good idea.
Yeah, and then the other fun thing, I guess, is that this setting up for this Fearless Fest, I'll be able to debut the Fearless wireless microphone assembly that I started building 2 years ago, and then everything got kind of mothballed. So,
do you have the clock, Salsa? You have the clock. You have the clock.
I've got the clock.
Oh, honey, I'm so excited for you.
I'm so excited for all of the tech that all of the audience showing up isn't even going to know is new. Jesus.
So
Jesus Christ, there's a...
Definitely set it up.
He's decided to show us a thing on an audio podcast.
Yeah.
He's got out a nuclear football is what it is.
It's just a 4U Gator box.
Oh my God! Look at you.
But yeah, we got six wireless microphones.
Oh, that!
Oh my
gorgeous.
God!
That is a real pretty setup there.
Crazy.
Yes.
No, oh, I'm so happy for you. Fingers on that.
Yeah, got all of those on.
Had a date like that once.
Got all of those on discount, even.
With six wireless mics.
There are several audio tech rental companies that are around the Twin Cities, and one of them up in Robbinsdale is called EMI, and they have a an annual used gear sale. And so I bought, I think, 60% of that in one go, and then picked up the other stuff around as we were as I was able to find them.
Are those all held gear or labs?
Both, actually. It's six handhelds, and I believe at least four of them have belt packs. And we also bought, and they came with the little clip on front of shirt lavs, and I think we picked up at least two, if not three, of the over the ear ones, with the intent for those to be the active hosts. And then I believe Angela Fox said that she can't do Fit with Fox this year, but I believe I did confirm with her that her headband or gym leader headband mic does is compatible with these ones.
Nice.
So in future, but Fearless owns all of this, so as soon as I still have to finish taping the power supplies in to the box and actually making it portable and easy to get to. But I have a couple more weeks to do that.
Fantastic. Getting back a little bit into the back doors of the thing I'm excited about here. Fearless Comic.
Microphones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No, yes. I am very excited for your microphones and for your rundown clock. That makes it sound like it's broken or busted.
Yeah,
or
fuck off. The countdown clock is...
There you go.
Rundown is completely different.
I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So excited for y'all.
Anyway, what else?
Last Monday night I was in on a stream with Eric Thompson.
Oh, hey.
Oh yeah.
So he contacted me on Sunday and said, "Hey, you doing anything on Monday night?" And I said nope. So we played I played Strange Brigade with him, his friend awesome. Shield, and Denis Zastra.
I love how Salsa is so much further behind us as far as we can tell.
Gonna be great.
But that was good.
Life, Salsa.
We played about 2 hours, and I think we got through three of the middle missions, and it was really nice just dinking around and talking about stuff. The other life thing for me is that I have a new niece in Aww. Canada. You wouldn't know her. But she officially is in Canada.
The best part of that, dear listener, is the way he's leaning back in the chair, just nonchalantly throwing that joke out.
It's Devin doesn't heavy hand anything. He just kind of tosses.
He's
like, "Are you catching this? Yes, you are. Ha ha, sucker."
But so my niece was born at the end of January, and so a couple weeks ago, Jennifer and I went up to sort of be just additional adults in the house for my sister-in-law and her husband, and worked out pretty well. I did most of the dinner cooking. We made like double portions so that we could take the leftovers and they could freeze them and have freezer meals.
Invaluable.
Yeah, and then the during the week when my brother-in-law had to go back to work, because of course he has to work, Jennifer would get up at like 6 a.m. and let her sister nap until about 10 or 11. And so she would just hang out with our niece and just handle things for part of the morning to, because yeah, it's, they said that it was really helpful. It was a lot of fun to visit, and we actually made a day trip out to Banff, which is a city situated in the Canadian Rockies.
Okay.
And got to spend an afternoon out there. It was pretty fun. We stopped at stopped outside of a frozen lake. That was really pretty. And then went into the town itself. It's a very interesting, it's obviously a tourist town. It's inside of this national park that you have to, you know, get a park pass for, which is interesting. Yeah. But there are so many like motels and like vacation lodges just inside of the city. And there's a bunch of small businesses really in sort of like this center area. It's sort of like the main drag of like Hastings and Red Wing, if they were like 4 blocks square instead of 4 blocks long. It was pretty fun. We had lunch at a semi-famous place called the Grizzly House, which is a fondue restaurant that they have cheese and chocolate fondue. But they also have what they call meat fondue, which most everybody else would call Korean barbecue, where they just bring you a hot ass rock and a plate of raw meat, and then you just cook it yourself.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, their most famous dinner menu, and we had lunch, so we couldn't try this, but their most famous one is this like cornucopia of exotic meats, include of like, you know, venison, bison, elk, alligator, snake, just really interesting things. But we stopped in at lunch around lunchtime to say, you know, hey, do you have any, you know, open slots for dinner? And they're like, well, no, but if you want to eat right now, you can. We're like, well, we haven't had lunch yet, so sure, why not? So I ended up having what they call a big game burger, which was a mix of bison, venison, and elk.
That sounds really interesting. Great.
It was rather gamey, as you would expect. Yeah. It's a game burger, but it was quite it was nice. It is almost had sort of like that sort of like salty smoky, like natural smokiness that you get from liver. It was really nice. It was like a really thick burger. And then Jennifer had the what they called a surf and turf meat fondue, which was just slices, just little nuggets of beef and some shrimp that she then you know, cooked on her little hot ass rock. So that was fun. And then the key thing that we were going there for is that Banff has some natural hot springs, and they have like a big like lounging pool that is heated from the hot spring water. And so it's like, you know, very mineral, this hot mineral bath that was pretty fun. And so they have a cutoff time, so we wanted to make sure that we got in for that. And so we were able to hang out for an hour. Unfortunately, having the impromptu lunch meant that we couldn't go on the hiking trip just outside of the outside of the city. So instead, we went up to the top of went up to the top of this thing, this one of the mountains called Sugar Mountain, via their gondola. And so it's basically, yeah, it's a decent chunk of change. It's about $50 for to go up, but it's about a mile long, and you get up the mountain. The cable distance is about a mile long, bottom to top. You get there in about 8 minutes. And so it was quite the ride up. Looking around was pretty pretty amazing. Also very windy and very cold.
And there's a giant slide down, or
no? You just take the gondola back down. It's basically like the sky lift or the sky train at the state fair.
Okay.
It's almost it's just larger, slightly larger, and enclosed instead of having gates for windows. Because again, it'd be cold up there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that was a good day. We had that like right in the middle of our trip. You know, we arrived on the weekend, went to Banff on Wednesday, and then went home on the weekend again. Mm-hmm. But our niece is incredibly cute. Jennifer is not going to compare her to my sister's kids, who are her eldest is her son is five or no is he four I think he turns five this summer, and then her younger, the daughter, just turned two at the beginning of February. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she posted a video of her daughter being real excited about this marble run that her son had constructed going down the stairs in their house.
Okay.
So that, yeah, she was just squealing with delight. So nice. Yeah, it was super cute. So
all right. How do we feel about a break?
Yeah, I could do a break.
That works for me.
Senpai, did you have anything else?
That's about the big news that I've had recently in the past and recently and soon in the future.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right.
Well, 2 and 2. We'll be right back at you. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stefan.
Yay, we did it.
And it's time for Fest 5.
Fest 5.
Today's Fest 5 comes to us from... James Verben.
Look at us.
All right. Friends, Fast Five, question number 1, 3, or 5?
Okay, so you said friends. What about the rest of us?
Oh, yeah, you fuckers too.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, which question is going to address your enemies?
Nice. 3 or 5?
I'd rather have 5 fingers than 3.
That's...
3 is the magic number.
Ooh.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So would I rather have a conceptual magic thing happen, or would I rather feel productive and do it with my own full 5-fingered hand?
Gross.
I'm going to go with 5 because James is asking the question.
I mean, that's where I was going with
it. I think the Roman numeral for 3 is III, and the Roman numeral for 5 is V. And I think V by itself is more useful in general than III.
Oh, all right. Oh, I would love to have 3 eyes, though.
Oh.
Fuck with people so hard.
Don't you?
Yeah. Don't Jenna's you? Already got a V.
You have a 3rd eye, Jenna?
I mean, I do have the little middle of the forehead warts, so, you know, I call it my 3rd eye. It's different than my 3rd nipple, which is the little mole in my cleavage. So, you know, I suppose. Yeah.
Our 3rd nipple in the middle of the cleavage. Our 3rd nipple.
Weird, but I'm still going to claim it.
I'm going to allow it.
I mean, that song by itself is weird. I mean, who the fuck puts their house in the middle of the street? I mean, people drive there.
Well, not anymore. There's a house on it.
Stephen Wright,
I know, you're
joke.
Impeding traffic.
Yeah, Stephen Wright had the joke that he got home and he accidentally put his car key in the door instead of his apartment key. And so he started the building up and took it for a drive, and he brought it out onto the freeway and told everybody to get the fuck out of his driveway. And when a cop came by and was like, "Hey, you, where do you live?" He said, "Right here. This is where."
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure he tells it better.
He absolutely does.
I'm going to go for 3.
Okay. I'm going with 5 on this one.
Oh, all right. Shit. Did we all go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fast 5, question number 2. 2 or 12?
How many emails should you send? And the answer is 12.
I think are you mad?
Gonna kill me like through the screen, like. Yep.
Send 5 emails with 12 questions.
2 or 12. Would you rather have 2 hard-boiled eggs or 12 deviled eggs?
Deviled eggs every time.
Absolutely. That's... deviled eggs.
Holy shit.
Yeah, those have mustard.
And mayo. Oh. And dill. They should have dill. A good deviled egg should have dill.
Just a spoonful of mayo helps the egg carton go down. The egg carton go down.
Yeah, I'm going to go 12.
I would rather have a party with 2 people than with 12. I'm like quasi introvert. I'm like an ambivert where I do get energy from being around a bunch of other people, like, you know, especially being at the after party of, you know, the closing night of Fearless 5 was fantastic to be around everybody. But if I'm going to be like, I am really anxious of like trying to have a deep conversation with somebody when there's a bunch of other people around. Sure. So I would much rather try and make a deep connection with people at like 2 at a time rather than a dozen.
Sure.
I'm going to go with that context. Sorry.
Yeah. Nope, you go.
Sorry. I'm going to go with 12.
Okay.
Because a carton of eggs is 12 eggs, not 2 rows of 6.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to go, I'm trying to get as James as I am here.
But no,
one
I
egg
noticed.
Is enough. I'm going to go with 2.
James. I'm so sad right now. Okay.
All right.
Fast Five, question number 3. 6 or 9?
Which is the funnier part of the number 69?
Oh, that's good.
I think the 9 is the funnier part.
I think the 6 is the funnier part.
Ooh.
It's got a lot of plosives. It's got an
X
in
but
it.
That 9 has a nice conclusive hard to it.
So an Australian and a German start dating. And they've been you know, going together for a little while, and then the one that the big moment comes, and the Australian looks at the German and says 6, and the German says 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ja, und was ist wrong with der Schmetterling?
And for that reason, I am going with 6.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to choose 6 because I am more familiar with Morris dancing, which we do in sets of 6, versus the game 9-man's Morris.
Oh, I would actually have to go with 9 even harder there because I grew up playing those games.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just lost the game.
Oh, fuck you.
What game?
I suppose I got you last time, so.
You know, the game. Capital T, capital G. The game. Yeah.
I hate you.
I like Stefan's reasoning on that.
What?
The wrestler?
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
No, the porn rating, game. Triple H.
Oh. All right. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
The song? There's a movie, too, for that matter.
So.
So anyway.
That thing. I think I have to go with 9.
Okay. Should be a Kiwi, not an Australian. That's more of a Kiwi accent.
Like to have 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That is a Kiwi accent. You're correct.
Yep.
So
made it up on the spot. Don't judge me.
Fast 5. Joking. Question number 4. 13.
That one.
Or orange.
Because I can rhyme 13.
I was about to say rhyming. Mm-hmm. Oh God, what do you rhyme 13 with?
Beauty queen.
14.
Kidney bean.
Bruce Springsteen.
Ooh, Springsteen. That's a good.
Man. Star Wars canteen.
Thirteen Dead End Drive was a better trap-based board game than Grape Escape, where one of the characters was orange.
That is some pretty sound James logic you got.
That is.
I'm
actually.
He's writing that.
James
right
is
now.
Actually changing his answer. Yeah. Like, whoa, fuck! How did?
Oh
he
yes,
James
that.
Mean?
That's a way better question. Yeah. Also, I agree, 13 Dead End Drive was way better than Grape Escape.
I can't even pretend to James on this one. I'm trying real hard in my brain, and it's just not happening.
Is orange a taboo color anywhere?
I mean, some places in Ireland, I would expect.
Ooh, yeah. Did you know that there is a stoplight in New York, in this small town in New York, that is inverted. Because when stoplights were still very, very new, very brand new, they had one of the first stoplights, they installed it, and this town had a very Irish community.
Oh my.
And okay. They were like, why is the red above the green?
Oh my God.
And so the mayor of the town was like, fine, we'll put the green above the red. So in this town, it goes green, yellow, red, as opposed to red, yellow, green.
Oh my God.
And all the locals say it is the only stoplight in the world that is right side up.
That.
Of course they do.
Yes.
I mean, that matches. All right. Story checks out.
I'm going to go 13. I think it's more universally an unlucky number than orange is an unlucky color.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Going with 13.
I was actually thinking it might have something to do with a baker's dozen.
No, there's a video game called 13, isn't there?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a video game called Orange?
I don't think so.
There's the orange box, which Portal came in.
That's true.
So third day, I might have to go with Orange. The orange box had a better game Portal than 13.
They did come out around the same time, if I recall, like right around 2004.
Yeah, kind of that early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit I haven't played 13, so I can't speak, but you know, Half-Life and Portal.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, if you...
I have to switch to Orange based on that.
If you played one and not the other, and neither of them are multiplayer.
I've played Portal, not all the way through. There's a certain amount of platforming to it that I'm just not excited for.
Sure.
Not a platformer. I'm really bad at that kind of a thing, so like landing on top of stuff is tricky. So I'm going to say 13, not knowing anything about the damn thing.
Hmm.
Is that it? We've all logged answers?
Senpai, what was your answer?
13 Dead End Drive over...
Dead End Drive, right. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
And I'm choosing Orange. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Fast Five, question number five.
Holy shit, that's been missing this whole time, and we didn't even know it. Damn
it. Fuck. All right. All right, the question is, pencil or camera?
Would you rather have somebody draw a sketch of you, or maybe would you rather draw a sketch of yourself, or take a photograph and use one of those sketch programs to create a sketch of you from that photograph? Now I'm going to say it's how do you prefer to keep notes, or journal, perhaps. Maybe. I don't know. I'm throwing things out there.
I never tried to take pictures of the chalkboard at any of my college courses.
Oh shit, that's such a good idea.
I would have to do handwritten notes.
I have taken pictures of whiteboards before we wiped them at work. But now I have my own whiteboard. So
yeah, I didn't. I didn't consistently have a camera on me until, 5 years after college?
Yeah, I had a phone camera by the time I was at my fourth college, so I'm still working on my first degree, too. But yeah,
Do you prefer hand-drawn art or graphic art, or doing hand-drawn versus graphic, digital, whatever? I'm going to go digital.
I'm certainly more apt to take a picture of something than to try and sketch it. So
right.
I'll go with camera.
So there was this time when I was trying to tell Jenna about the way that I had built something, or that I thought that we should build something. Yes. And it would have been a lot better if I had looked for a picture than tried unsuccessfully to draw it. So I think,
thankfully there is now an image of the ramp door out there in the world.
And I'm so angry.
Yes,
I'm so
there
mad
is
about this. I'm so still traumatized by this, like, 3 fucking years later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with camera. I don't draw.
All right.
I think I'm gonna go with camera.
All right.
But it's a hard choice. Okay.
All right. So, was that all 5?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
I'm for the context. 3 or 5.
Where we find out who is wrong and who is.
We're all wrong. That's just kind of our default state of being.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
who's on the same wavelength?
When confronted by someone who's being a shit-sucking fuckstain, is the finger you extend your 3rd, meaning your middle finger, telling them to get fucked, or the 5th, your pinky, meaning to double down on your politeness in response?
Would patronizing be the pinky?
Like condescension or like?
Yes, like absolute condescension. Like, oh, sweetie, I think that's really adorable.
I think that's telling them to get fucked. I think that's a middle finger.
Okay.
Really? I would have. That sounds like a pinky to me. That's very sophisticated. And oh. I guess I don't understand what you mean then beyond what the pinky would
instead
be.
Instead of any kind of negativity being like, okay, I can see where you're coming from.
Oh, fuck or, that. No, absolutely not.
Right? No. Yeah, it's 3 for me. Rather than explicitly, you know, rather than being aggressive to them, I would just remove myself from the situation, which is similarly a, you know, sort of a parting shot of a fuck you. I'm not
fuck you. Fuck
especially
you. Fuck you.
Minnesota.
I'm out.
Yeah.
And I would mutter about it in the car.
This isn't worth my.
It would really depend on the situation, but. If they're being god fucking awful, I will address it.
Fair enough.
I mean, James and did specifically say that they were fuck stains. So
right, yeah.
Shit sucking like, fuck stains.
Yes.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
I left out the adjective, but it's still valid.
No, I.
So yeah, I'll probably do it in a super condescending way, but. Or possibly direct. It'll start with, let me be clear.
Per my last email.
Oh, God. That has been fucking hell. Why would you do that to me? God damn it.
Please advise.
Do the needful.
Hope that helps.
I'm actually fine with do the needful. I've talked about where do the needful comes from, where, it's actually, an Indian phrase that stems from, British takeover and their way of incorporating that and then being like, well, this is how we're going to say these things. It's like a phrase that built out of all of that, the colonization stuff. So, I'm fine with do the needful. But yeah, per my last email.
Holy
buddy.
Shit.
Yeah.
We actually, at the place that James and I used to work at, there was one individual who sat at the front of our row who actually started to sign off his messages with hope that helps as a kind of inside joke, backhanded fuck you.
I mean, I end just about everything with, let me know if there's anything else I can help you with.
Yeah. No, but this was very specifically a reference to Hope That Helps.
Right.
That he was, this was his so way of, yeah. of giving them the middle finger without them even knowing it.
Right.
Anyway.
I was unrelentingly polite to callers who were just miserable pretty frequently when I was working at the Apple call center. And I had in my back pocket and always wanted to use, but never unholstered the, well, I appreciate you calling. Have an Apple day. Just like,
yes.
Fuck. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So question number two, 2 or 12, when seeing a movie, Senpai, you got very close on this. Do you prefer to make it a date with one other person? Or descend upon the theater like locusts?
Ooh.
It depends on the movie, but usually just one other person.
Just one other person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do, I would say.
I don't like trying to wrangle everybody in a movie theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think almost all of the... almost all of the MCU movies that I've seen in a theater, I've only seen with one other person.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and for me, Senpai, you actually hit the nail on the head, nail upon the top, I should say, when you said you would like to have a deeper discussion with one other person rather than try to keep up with. And if I've just seen like a really good movie or a really bad movie, I want to dissect it with the other person.
See, I want to dissect it with as many people as possible to get as many different perspectives as possible. The dissection part is not where the 2 and 12 comes in for me. It is just the how do you finagle 12 people? Like, somebody's going to have to sit apart from the group, and then there's deciding who, or then there's, you know, like, or figuring out tickets ahead of time. Does one person just buy 12 and hope everybody shows up? No. That's I get paid way too much during the day to do that at night.
$10,000.
Yeah, just Jenna describing having to organize that many people made me go, fuck this. I'm out.
Yep.
I'm going home watching it on Netflix when it comes out.
Fair enough. All right.
You guys, so, Turning Red comes out this week.
Question number three. 6 or 9, if you were moving into a house with 2,500 square feet, would you prefer a smaller number of rooms, for example, 6, or a slightly larger number of medium rooms? For example, 9 medium rooms.
I mean, I like open concept as much as possible. That said, like, either way, that still feels like a good chunk of room for, you know, the number of people living in my house, which is me. I think probably going to go with the smaller number of rooms. I like the open concept feel. I like being able to flow from one thing to the next. Yeah.
And I suppose you can always subdivide.
You can.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, 6, a smaller number of rooms is same for me. I think in my house, the actual amount of furnished space is about 2,500 square feet. And we do have like 6 rooms, not counting the 3 bathrooms. Well, you know, one full, 1 3-quarter, and 1 half bath. So, I mean, those don't really count as personal spaces. So we've got about 6 rooms.
Well, so, are we counting bathrooms as rooms or not?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cause so, I'm thinking kitchen's one room, living room's another, dining room's another. We're already got 3 and I've got a family. And so if the other 3 are going to be bedrooms, then that's it.
Well, that's already in my mind,
all the rooms in the house.
I was not necessarily the household standard rooms, like the kitchen and the bathrooms, but things like living rooms, bedrooms.
I think that's really interesting.
So you're counting living room, but not kitchen?
Yeah, correct. I find that interesting because, like, for me, one of the big things.
Yeah, I'm going to need more details here.
What I would love is an open concept, like dining room into kitchen thing, mm-hmm. right? So is that one room or two rooms? But like, if you just have like the little counter thing, whatever, like I like that kind of a thing. Cause how often do you sit you're down to a formal meal nowadays? Yeah. Like, fuck it.
All
that
the
room
time.
Is for playing games.
but we're building Legos. You specified a square footage, but then we're not including the kitchen. Like, even though you're not counting that as a room, is that still taking up square footage? Or
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm really.
This is not well worded, James.
What?
Look, I had already started drinking when I wrote this.
I know. I'm just saying. Like,
this is in English, and that's about what you get.
How big of a kitchen is this? A huge kitchen, and all of the rest of the rooms are really tiny, or is this a galley kitchen, and all the rest of the rooms are big? Like,
I would say
it matters.
Neither nor. Yeah.
How big are these bathrooms? Does this have a huge ensuite with a hot tub in it? If we're not counting bathrooms, like
in a 2,500 square foot house,
exactly, it's taking up square footage. That's what I'm saying.
No one would build that in a house that size.
I know that, but this is a hypothetical.
The two presupposed hypothetical houses have matching kitchens, matching number and size of bathrooms.
Okay, but
the only difference
is. You're already arbitrarily saying that the kitchen doesn't count as a room, but the living room does. So how am I supposed to know that anything else makes sense?
Well, I mean, it's a Fast Five question. It doesn't have to make any fucking sense.
James, you may have been misunderstanding the game for the past several years. It has to make enough sense.
Right.
I don't know, man. This is kind of like porn. Like, you know it when you see it.
Am I what? Am I going to watch the whole thing to see if they get married or what? Is this
James overthinking things is the point of Fast Five?
Yeah.
And now you're complaining that I'm doing that?
Well, I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to answer your questions.
And the answer to those questions is no.
I go with 12. I got a big family and I need rooms for things. Yeah.
I would choose the larger number of medium rooms rather than the smaller number of large rooms. Because my bedroom is a 10 by 11. I'm clearly okay with a smaller space, but also I need a workshop and a study. I want a library. I want all kinds of different rooms.
Wait, so those rooms do count?
Well, they are rooms.
I'm sorry. A kitchen does
is an amenity.
Count. A library does? I'm sorry.
Correct.
James, a library is as necessary as a kitchen and a bathroom. I don't know what house you're living in.
I would say that most houses do not advertise that that they come with a kitchen. They will just tell you what size the kitchen is.
Why do you think so many houses aren't selling?
Okay.
I have answers for that.
The requisite numbers of studies and smoking rooms are not listed.
Yes. Oh, yes. How large is your priest hole? Jesus. Right.
The confessional does not count in the square feet. Square footage.
Right. And plus, it's only a half bath, the confessional. So. All right, good. So, question number four.
Okay.
13 or orange? If you were going to be on a sports team and jerseys were being provided, would you rather choose your jersey number or your team colors?
Oh, team colors. I look horrible in a bright orange, but I look fantastic in a cranberry.
Hmm.
So I have to pick number 13?
No. Just
no, you get to pick a number.
I picked a favorite number of mine and a favorite color of mine.
I see. They're representative. Okay, I don't give a shit what color I am. I'll take the number.
Okay.
Yeah, I would choose the number.
Yeah, Salsa, do you have a lucky number? Or a number that you prefer? Do you have a number that you like more that isn't pi?
Shit. Well,
rip back.
My favorite number is 3,287. Not a joke. That is my favorite number, 3,287. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It rolls off the tongue really nice, and it ends in a 7. So that's why I've always liked 3,287. However, my sports number, if I was to pick a jersey number, would be 22.
Fair enough. And Senpai, did you answer?
Yeah, I would go with number.
Number.
Yeah, my, I guess, tied for first place, my two favorite numbers, I think, would be 6 and 24.
Mm.
6 being the smallest perfect number, the number that all of its factors add up to itself. And then I believe 24 is the smallest, what was it, the smallest non-odd prime?
It's not a prime.
No, of course not. No, that is also, I think that's the next perfect number.
That seems correct.
Mm. Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah.
I don't really care about a number at all. I suppose if I was forced to, I'd go with number 5. It's my birthday. That's it. That's all I got. That's all I care about.
Yeah, when I was on the JV soccer team in high school, our jerseys were checked cobalt blue and yellow. So I don't really care about jersey colors.
All right.
The strategy was to deafen the other team with your shirts.
Pretty much.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So,
all right, what else we got? Yeah.
All right. Question number 5, pencil or camera?
Okay.
Every show you watch from now on, you will either see as being animated or live action, regardless of how it was before. Would you be more afraid to see your favorite cartoons as live action with live consequences? Or would you be more afraid to see a serious classic done in full anime style, complete with all the tropes?
I would be more concerned of animation done live action.
I was about to say, they already did Aladdin live action. It was pretty terrifying.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by afraid?
Like, which one do you think is going to be worse?
An anime done live action or a live action anime?
Not even necessarily those things.
A cartoon adaptation of something that is historically live action versus the other.
A live action adaptation. Yeah. Oh, I would watch a cartoon Casablanca. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right?
Well, that actually sounds pretty good. Isn't that just Roger Rabbit? No, it isn't. But
yeah,
also,
no, the attempts at live action adaptations of anime in particular and cartoons in general have been consistently atrocious over the last 30
mixed
years.
Mixed results. I really liked the Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, that's a very good point.
I didn't actually see the Cowboy.
No, but that's one example out of many bad ones. So don't.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And the Rurouni Kenshin one was palatable. It was fine. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I haven't seen. Have you seen the. The Brotherhood.
Brotherhood of the Wolf?
Full Metal Alchemist?
Full Metal Alchemist. Have you seen the live action Full Metal?
The live action adaptation is supposed to be.
I've heard it's good.
I was going to say, Dolph Lundgren's Masters of the Universe was pretty awful.
Yes, yes, absolutely. No, there are more examples of bad. Absolutely.
I have a special. There's a. That is a terrible movie that I will watch. Masters of the Universe. It's
plenty of bad movies I watched.
Glass, but it's
was that part of your birthday marathon a couple of years ago, Jenna?
Nope.
Okay.
Willow. You're thinking of Willow.
Or Beastmasters.
The same movie, but without Skeletor.
James, did you hear that Full Metal live action was bad?
I did. I heard that it was really bad.
Okay. I have not seen it, so I do not know one way or the other.
I know that the live action adaptation of most of of the anime that I've seen, I have not enjoyed the live action at all. Like Death Note was pretty miserable.
I didn't even.
I have a complete side tangent. Anybody seen Arcane? The cartoon Arcane?
Not yet.
I'm on episode 6 of 9, and holy
it's good.
Fuck, I need somebody to talk to about that later. So I'm just putting that out there. I enjoyed it.
You should go listen to the Fanimated podcast.
Oh, yeah.
The hosts, Kelly, absolutely adored Arcane, and she made a whole episode talking about how great it was.
I will say, I think my daughter could cosplay Vi. Super hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, their facial features are very similar.
Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah. Anyway, I got distracted. What are we doing?
If you would like to send a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to souls@a1podcast.com. The first one should be the choice, and the second one, repeat those choices, and it's context.
Or what?
Mav, pay attention, because even you can't. Never mind. Hold on. That's a challenge. I put data validation in. or you can go to the AON website, aonpodcast.com. And click on the Submit a Fast Five button. That's right. There is a form that you can fill out. Go to the AON Podcast website, click on Submit a Fast Five, and there is a form that you fill out. All it is fill these things out. You can they have questions and context. That's all. And then you hit Submit, and that gets sent to me, and you don't need to do anything else. It's pretty easy. So, yeah, let's
stream that.
You know you want to, Mav. So go ahead and see what you can do to frustrate me on this one.
Yeah,
because I know you will. So yeah, we'll find out.
Really excited about this form. We're gonna have nobody's gonna use the form, by the way, guys.
Of course not. No, there it is. Mav is gonna continue to send 12 emails.
Provided Mav's gonna be 25 emails. Yeah.
Yep. The fourth of which is the form.
Someone's gonna be an absolute
of the form filled out.
Someone's going to be an absolute monster of a QC checker and try any different number of any different combinations of inputs. You know, question number left or right. You know, context is 5 or, you know.
I did put some data validation checks in there. So every question requires an or
in there.
Pseudo, context is pseudo drop table.
Oh, little Bobby tables.
Little Bobby tables, yeah.
So, yeah, no, anyway, that is the thing that we have provided for you. So if the problem with sending in Fast Fives was that you didn't know my email or couldn't remember it or didn't want to do any of that, just fill out the form and it splits it up for you. That's right. Put in the questions and context and hit send, and I get, you know, an email that just has the questions, and then I go and get the context later. It's really clever, if I do say so myself. Yeah. Anyway, does anybody have a shout out?
I need to give a shout out to Joe for taking me in this past week while I was hiding from something like 100.
Not for the first time. Yes.
Not for the first time. He continues to do it. He is a wonderful human being. And yeah, it's a disruption to him, but like, he's like, yeah, I just, you know, want you to feel safe. So come on over. So yeah. Yep. I have to give that shout out. He continues to be awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
James?
My shout out is to Winter Tires. During the night before the show, the craft fair, much to Jax's disappointment, it snowed not like a lot, but enough. And I know that given that I have a very tiny car, that it probably would have been difficult and indeed dangerous based on how fucking slippery everything was that day to be out driving. But we felt safe and sound in a tiny car because of really good actual winter snow tires.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
I am going to give my shout out to the educators of Minneapolis and St. Paul, who at the time of this recording go on strike tomorrow, but by the time you listen to it, we'll have already started the strike. For we'll find out how long, which is, you know, it's a last resort, but it has become necessary because educators are underpaid and understaffed and undersupported and overworked, and they don't even have a contract right now. They have been teaching your kids all fucking year. It's March now. They have been teaching without a contract. This is ridiculous. So yeah, I stand with them in solidarity of their strike. Hopefully we can find a good resolution that everybody is happy with quickly. Yeah, we'll see where it goes from there. But shout out to them.
Nice.
I'd like to shout out former Awful Copter co-host Barry for putting in some work to establish a weekly, once a week night for the group of us that normally gets together every 3 months for a LAN party and keep it going, you know, one night a week. And it's been very fun just doing drop in, drop out, you know, whoever's available to play something together. It's been real fun for the last month.
Very nice.
That's so good.
Cool, cool. All right. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do. Are you ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
So I will be performing April 7th through 10th. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all four performances. Good Grief, Stories of Love and Loss. When somebody asked me if I wanted to be a part of this storytelling compilation with other local storytellers, I went, boy, howdy. Yeah, that's just what I do. So The whole thing, there are some fantastic names. I don't think those are public yet, but join us for a show that is a fuller reflection of human responses to loss and celebrations of loved ones lived in all of their complexities. The show is committed to three ideas. The first is that grief is often lonely and it shouldn't be. Second is that the range of socially acceptable emotions to express about a departed loved one is too narrow, which contributes to grief's loneliness. And the third is that our final death is when our names are no longer spoken. Telling stories keeps the living and the departed alive. Our real experience of grief can be funny, difficult, surprising, offbeat, and we invite you to dive into all of the places grief can happen. I'll be talking about Bill. Surprise! So, although I had a lot of things that I was like, ooh, I could talk about that. I could talk about that grief. Oh, I could talk about grief for that. Yeah. So, if you want to show up and relive some experiences with Bill, learn more about my experiences with his passing, and learn about other people's various experiences dealing with grief, I recommend showing up. Again, I will be there all four nights. Not every storyteller will be. So once those lists become a bit more public, find your favorite night full of your favorite storytellers and grab a ticket. This will be happening at Strike Theater. They do require proof of vaccination and masks at this time. I'm assuming they will continue to do so. They have been very stringent on that. So, come see me for that. A little further down the road, end of April, I am directing a show for an anthology called Monsters in a Mirror, full of stories turned into shows, done by Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe. Stories written by Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe turned into, staged productions. And I've just started rehearsals for that. So, mark your calendars. I'm going to be real popular in April. And also every Wednesday, family game night, blah, 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 whatever.
Well, just as long as you have April 13th free for pudding day.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very important.
Coming up this coming weekend is Mondo Juggle Fest. Anybody who is, you know, a juggler or interested in juggling or any of the, not just the traditional, what you think of as juggling and throwing, you know, three or five or whatever objects up to the air, but any of the, you know, circus arts, we do have unicyclists and, you know, poi spinners and people that do all sorts of really crazy cool stuff with yo-yos and everything else like that. Come check it out. It's always a good time. Go to mondofest.org. I'm pretty sure that's the website. In a few weeks is Fearless Fest. That will be a couple weeks here, so you're going to hear us really start to talk about that a lot come this next week, I'm sure. Speaking of next week, is Pie Day. We're not having a big party at our house, but we still will be eating pie, so yeah. I recommend you do the same. And that's what I got coming up. Anybody else?
Yeah. So Fearless Comedy Productions adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing. 2 years delayed. You know, we were going to go up in April of 2020, but then things happened. So we're currently in rehearsals. The performance schedule will be 9 shows beginning Friday, April 29th. And going through Saturday, May 14th. All shows will be at 7:30 p.m. at the historic Mounds Theater. The specific dates, it's mostly weekends with some matinee, or some, there's one Sunday matinee and then Monday night and Thursday night shows. So the schedule will be up later on Fearless Comedy's website and probably Facebook page.
All right. Are there any final thoughts?
Yes. Bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so very much to everybody who has listened to this podcast. Thank you to Stefan for being a fantastic guest.
Yay, senpai.
Thank you to James for sending in the Fast Five. Hopefully James and Jenna and I will not need to write as many of those in the future because y'all will be using the form conveniently on the website. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
Pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh,